Shabbat shalom, Bob.
Shabbat shalom, Bridget. This is April 20th, 2024, and this week is Parashah 28, which begins with Leviticus 14:1 on page 124 of your complete Jewish Bible. Adonai said to Moses, "This is to be the law concerning the person afflicted with leprosy on the day of his purification. He is to be brought to the Kohen, and the Kohen is to go outside the camp and examine him there. If he sees that the leprosy sores have been healed in the afflicted person, then the Kohen will order the two living, clean birds be taken for the one to be purified, along with cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop leaves. The Kohen is to order one of the birds slaughtered in a clay pot over running water. As for the live bird, he's to take it with the cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird slaughtered over running water, and sprinkle a person to be purified from the leprosy 7 times. Next, he is to set the live bird free in an open field. He is to be purified, must wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and bathe himself in water. Then he will be clean, and after that he may enter the camp. But he must live outside his tent for 7 days. On the 7th day, he is to shave all the hair off his head, also his beard and eyebrows. He must shave off all his hair. And he is to wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and he will be clean.
On the 8th day, he is to take 2 male lambs without defect, 1 female lamb in its first year without defect, and 6.5 quarts of fine flour for a grain offering, mixed with olive oil, 2/3 of a pint of olive oil. The Kohen purifying him is to place the person being purified with these items before Adonai at the entrance of the tent of meeting. The Kohen is to take 1 of the male lambs and offer it as a guilt offering with the 2/3 pint of olive oil, then wave them as a wave offering before Adonai. He's to slaughter the male lamb at the place in the sanctuary for slaughtering sin offerings and burnt offerings, because the guilt offering belongs to the Kohen. Just like the sin offering, it is especially holy. The Kohen is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of the person being purified, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Next, the Kohen is to take some of the 2/3 pint of olive oil and pour it into the palm of his own hand. Dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and sprinkle from the oil with his finger 7 times before Adonai. Then the Kohen is to put some of the remaining oil in his hand on the tip of the right ear of the person being purified, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, and the blood of the guilt offering. Finally, the Kohen is to put the rest of the oil in his hand on the head of the person being purified, and the Kohen will make atonement for him before Adonai. The Kohen is to offer the sin offering and make atonement for the person being purified because of his uncleanness. Afterwards, he's to slaughter the burnt offering. That's right. The Kohen is to offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus, the Kohen will make atonement for him, and he will be clean.
If he is poor, so that he can't afford to do otherwise, he's to take 1 male lamb as a guilt offering to be waved, to make atonement for him. 2 quarts of fine flour mixed with olive oil for a grain offering, 2/3 of a pint of olive oil, and 2 doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he can afford, the one for sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. On the 8th day he will bring them to the Kohen for his purification, to the entrance of the tent of meeting before Adonai. The Kohen is to take the lamb of the guilt offering and the 2/3 of a pint of olive oil and wave them as a wave offering before Adonai. He is to slaughter the lamb of the guilt offering, and the Kohen is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of the person being purified, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. The Kohen is to take some of the olive oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand, sprinkle with his right hand some of the oil that's in his left hand 7 times before Adonai. The Kohen is to put some of the oil in his hand on the tip of the right ear of the person being purified, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, in the same place as the blood of the guilt offering. Finally, the Kohen has put the rest of the oil in his hand on the head of the person being purified to make atonement for him before Adonai. He's to offer one of the doves or young pigeons, such as the person can afford, whatever his means suffice for. The one is a sin offering and the other is a burnt offering, with the grain offering. Thus, the Kohen will make atonement before Adonai for the person being purified. Such is the law for the person who has leprosy sores, if he cannot afford the usual elements used for his purification.
Adonai said to Moses and Aaron, "When you have entered the land of Canaan, which I am giving you as a possession, and I put an infection of leprosy in a house in the land that you possess, then the owner of the house is to come and tell the Kohen. It seems to me that there may be an infection in the house. The Kohen is to order the house emptied before he goes in to inspect the infection, so that everything in the house won't be made unclean. Afterwards, the Kohen is to enter and inspect the house. He will examine the infection, and if he sees the infection is in the walls of the house with greenish or reddish depressions that seem to go in deeper than the surface of the wall, he's to go out of the house to its door and seal up the house for 7 days. The Kohen will come again on the 7th day and examine the house. If he sees that the infection has spread over its walls, he's to order them to remove the infected stones and throw them into some unclean place outside the city. Next, he's to have the inside of the house thoroughly scraped, and the scraped off plaster is to be discarded outside the city in an unclean place. Finally, other stones must be set in place of the first stones and other plaster used to replaster the house. If the infection returns and breaks out in the house after the stones have been removed and the house scraped and plastered, then the Kohen is to enter and examine it. If he sees that the infection has spread in the house, it is contagious leprosy in the house. It is unclean. He must break down the house and take its stones, timber, and plaster out of the city to an unclean place. Moreover, whoever enters the house at any time while it is sealed up will be unclean until evening. Whoever lies down or eats in the house must wash his clothes. If the Kohen enters, examines, and sees that the infection has not spread in the house since it was plastered, then he's to declare the house clean because the infection is cured.
To purify the house, he is to take 2 birds, cedarwood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop leaves. He's to slaughter one of the birds in a clay pot over running water. He's to take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet yarn, the live bird, and dip them in the blood of the slaughtered bird and in the running water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. He will purify the house with the blood of the bird, the running water, the live bird, the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet yarn. But he is to set the live bird free outside the city in an open field. Thus he will make atonement for the house, and it will be clean.
Such is the law for all kinds of leprosy, leprosy sores, for a crusted area, for leprosy in a garment, for a house, for a swelling, for a scab, and for a bright spot, to determine when it is clean and when it is unclean. This is the law concerning leprosy.
Adonai said to Moses and Aaron, tell the people of Israel, when any man has a discharge from his body, the discharge is unclean. The discharge is unclean no matter whether it continues flowing or has stopped. It is still uncleanness. Every bread which the person with the discharge lies in is unclean, and everything he sits on is unclean. Whoever touches his bed is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water. He will be unclean until evening. Whoever sits on anything and the person with the discharge sat on is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water. He will be unclean until evening. Anyone who touches the body of the person with the discharge is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water. He will be unclean until evening. If the person with the discharge spits on someone who is clean, the latter is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water. He will be unclean until evening. Any saddle that the person with the discharge rides on will be unclean. Whoever touches anything that was under him will be unclean until evening. He who carries those things is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water. He will be unclean until evening. If the person with the discharge fails to rinse his hands in water before touching someone, that person is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water. He will be unclean until evening. If the person with the discharge touches a clay pot, it must be broken. If he touches a wooden utensil, it must be rinsed in water.
When a person with a discharge has become free of it, he is to count 7 days for his purification. Then he is to wash his clothes and bathe his body in running water. After that, he will be clean. And on the 8th day, he's to take for himself 2 doves, 2 young pigeons, or 2 young pigeons, come before Adonai to the entrance of the tent of meeting and give them to the Kohen. The Kohen is to offer them, the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. Thus, the Kohen will make atonement for him on account of his discharge before Adonai.
If a man has a seminal emission, he is to bathe his entire body in water. He will be unclean until evening. Any clothing or leather on which there is any semen is to be washed with water. It will be unclean until evening. If a man goes to bed with a woman and has sexual relations, both are to bathe themselves in water. They will be unclean until evening.
If she has become free of her discharge.
Hey.
What?
You skipped one.
Oh, excuse me. Where are we?
19.
No, oh, I'm sorry. If a woman has a discharge, and the discharge from her body is blood, she will be in the state of Nidah for 7 days. Whoever touches her will be unclean until evening. Everything she lies on or sits on in her state of Nidah will be unclean. Whoever touches her bed is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water. He will be unclean until evening. Whoever touches anything she sits on is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water. He will be unclean until evening. As soon as he touches the bed or something she sat on, he will be unclean until evening. If a man goes to bed with her and her menstrual flow touches him, he will be unclean 7 days, and every bed he lies on will be unclean.
If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not during her period, or if her discharge lasts beyond the normal end of her period, then throughout the time she's having an unclean discharge, she will be as when she is in Nidah. She is unclean. Every bed she lies on at any time while she's having her discharge will be for her like the bed she uses during her time of Nidda. And everything she sits on be unclean, with uncleanness like that of her time of Nidda. Whoever touches those things will be unclean. He is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water. He will be unclean until evening.
If she became free of her discharge, she's to count 7 days. After that, she will be clean. On the 8th day, she's to take for herself 2 doves and 2 or 2 young pigeons and bring them to the Kohen at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the Kohen is to offer the one as a sin offering, the other as a burnt offering. Thus the Kohen will make atonement for her before Adonai on account of her unclean discharge.
In this way, you will separate the people of Israel from their uncleanness, so that they will not die in a state of uncleanness for defiling my tabernacle, which is there with them.
Such is the law for a person who has a discharge. For the man who has the seminal emissions that makes him unclean, for the woman in Nidda before her menstrual period, or during her menstrual period, for a person, a man or a woman with discharge, and for a man who has sexual relations with a woman who is unclean.
And then for the Haftarah, we have 2 Kings 7, 3 through 20. Find that on page 408. Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance to the city gate, and they said to each other, "Why should we sit here till we die? If we say we'll enter the city, then the city has been struck by the famine, so we'll die there. And if we sit still here, we'll also die. So let's go and surrender to the army of Aram. If they spare our lives, we will live. And if they kill us, we'll only die." They got up during the twilight to go to the camp of Aram. But when they reached the outskirts of the camp of Aram, they saw no one. For Adonai had caused the army of Aram to hear the sound of chariots and horses. It sounded like a huge army. And they said to each other, "The king of Israel must have hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." So they jumped up and fled in the twilight, leaving their tents, horses, donkeys, and the whole camp just as it was, and ran for their lives. When these men with leprosy reached the outskirts of the camp, they entered one of the tents, ate and drank, then took some silver, gold, and clothing, and went and hid it. Next, they returned and entered another tent, took stuff from there, and went and hid it. But finally, they said to each other, "What we are doing is wrong. At a time of good news like this, we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. If we wait even till morning, we will earn only punishment. So come on, let's go and tell the king's household." So they came and shouted to the gatekeepers of the city and told them the news. "We went to the camp of Aram, and no one was there, no human voice, just the horses and donkeys tied up and their tents left in place." The gatekeepers called and told it to the king's household inside. Then the king got up in the night and said to his servants, "I'll tell you what Aram has done to us. They know that we're hungry, so they've gone outside the camp and hidden in the countryside, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we'll take them alive and then get inside the city.'" One of his servants answered, "I suggest letting some men take 5 of the remaining horses that are left in the city. They're like everything else in Israel that remains, like everything else in Israel, practically finished, and we'll send and see." So they took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent after the army of Aram, saying, "Go and see." They went after them all the way to the Jordan and found the entire distance strewn with clothing and other articles Aram had thrown away in their haste. The messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and ransacked the camp of Aram. with the result that 6 quarts of fine flour was sold for only a shekel, and a half a bushel of barley for a shekel, in keeping with what Adonai had said.
The king put the servant on whose arm he had leaned in charge of the gate, and the people trampled him down in the gateway, so that he died, as the man of God had said he would, who spoke when the king came to him. For the man of God had said to the king, "Tomorrow, by this time, 6 quarts of barley will sell for only a shekel, and half a bushel of fine flour for a shekel at the gate of Samaria."
Sarum.
What is it?
Isn't it Sarum?
The servant had answered the man of God, "Why? This couldn't happen even if Adonai made windows in heaven." So Elijah had said, "All right, you yourself will see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat any of it." That is exactly what happened to him, because the people trampled him down in the gateway so that he died.
And we have Matthew 8, 1 through 4, page 1232. After Yeshua had come down from the hill, large crowds followed him. Then a man afflicted with leprosy came, kneeled down in front of him and said, "Sir, if you are willing, can you make me clean?" Yeshua reached out his hand, touched him and said, "I am willing, be cleansed." And at once he was cleansed from his leprosy. Then Yeshua said to him, "See that you tell no one, but as a testimony to the people, go and let the Kohen examine you, and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded." And then we have Mark 1, 35 through 45, page 1264.
Mark 1, 35.
Yeah.
Mark 1, 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Yeshua got up, went away to a lonely spot and stayed there praying. But Simon and those with him went after him. And when they found him, they said, "Everybody's looking for you." And he answered, "Let's go somewhere else, to the other villages around here. I have to proclaim the message there too. In fact, this is why I came out." So he traveled all through the Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and expelling demons.
A man afflicted with leprosy came to Yeshua and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Yeshua reached out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Instantly, the leprosy left him, and he was clean. Cleansed. Yeshua sent him away with this stern warning, "See that you tell no one. Instead, as a testimony to the people, go and let the Kohen examine you and offer for your cleansing that Moses commanded." But he went out and began spreading the news, talking freely about it, so that Yeshua could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed out in the country, where people continued coming to him from all around. And we have Luke 2, 22 through 35, page 1291.
2:22. When the time came for the purification according to the Torah of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to Adonai. As it is written in the Torah of Adonai, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to Adonai, and also to offer a sacrifice of a pair of doves or two young pigeons as required by the Torah of Adonai.
There was in Jerusalem a man named Simon. This man was a Zadok. He was devout. He waited eagerly for God to comfort Israel, and the Rosh Hakodesh was upon him. It had been revealed to him that by the Rosh Hakodesh that he would not die before he'd seen the Messiah of Adonai. Prompted by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in a child, Yeshua, to do for him what the Torah required, Simon took him in his arms, made a blessing to God, and said, "Now, Adonai, according to your word, your servant is at peace as you let him go. For I've seen with my own eyes your Yeshua, which you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light that will bring revelation to the Goyim and glory to the people, your people of Israel."
Yeshua's father and mother were marveling at these things Simon was saying about him, and Simon blessed them and said to the child's mother Miriam, "This child will cause many in Israel to fall and arise. He will become a sign whom people will speak against. Moreover, a sword will pierce your own heart too. All this will happen in order to reveal many people's inmost thoughts."
Now we have John 8:6 through 13, page 1340. John 8:6. They said this to trap him, so they might have ground for bringing charges against him. But Yeshua bent down and began writing in the dust with his finger. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "The one of you who is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he bent down and wrote in the dust again. On hearing this, they began to leave, one by one, the older ones first, until he was left alone with the woman still there. Standing up, Yeshua said to her, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." Yeshua said, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and don't sin any more."
Yeshua spoke to them again, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light which gives life." So the Pharisees said to him, "Now you're testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid." And Yeshua answered them, "Even if I do testify on my own behalf, my testimony is indeed valid, because I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I came from or where I'm going. You judge by merely human standards. As for me, I pass judgment on no one. But if I were indeed to pass judgment, my judgment would be valid, because it is not I alone who judge, but I and the one who sent me. And even in your Torah, it is written that the testimony of two people is valid. I myself testify on my own behalf, and so does the Father who sent me." Thank you, Father God, for making room in our lives for the wonderful Shabbat, the time of rest, the time that we do not do any ordinary work. Father God, we pray that you will bless those that we come in contact with. We pray that you will help us to be strong testimony on your behalf. Amen.
Amen.